Brother Eric John Phelps, welcome to the broadcast today on this Sunday, February the 4th, 2024. I'm going to have my regular Sunday sermon. And so, the title of this sermon is The Doom of the Super Rich. The Doom of the Super Rich. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, you bless this message now. And that thy church will be further built and edified, and that the wicked would be confronted with their sin to the end, that they would truly repent, believe the gospel, and have their sins forgiven, and start to walk in the power of the Spirit of God and do well. So we ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So welcome to the broadcast, Reformation Bible Puritan Baptist Church here with Pastor Eric John Phelps and with 24/7 World Radio. And I welcome you again to the broadcast on February the 4th, 2024, my Sunday sermon. The Doom of the Super Rich. Now remember, God has not condemned, has not caused it to be a sin or an evil thing to be wealthy. But I'm preaching now primarily against the cartel capitalists, the super rich, the old men who run this world system for the devil, out of Rome, out of the papacy. And the real super rich men are the College of Cardinals and the Pope. They have more wealth, more money, more assets than we can dream. And so, this is a message directed to them with the intent of, number one, that they would repent and believe the gospel, at least the elect among them. And that those who will not repent and believe the gospel might realize where they're going when they die. So, we read in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, and been wanton, ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. This is a classic section of the book of James. Remember, the book of James was written to the Hebrew Jewish Israelites. We read in chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So he's writing not to the church, per se. He's writing to the 12 tribes of Israel, which are in existence in the first century, which tells us that the Jews have not been bred out of existence. The 12 tribes existed from the days of Moses to the days of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the apostles. Christ even spoke of the 12 tribes, to the disciples. He said, you shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, when is that? That's in the millennial kingdom that Christ came to establish, but it was rejected when they rejected him. You reject the king, you reject the restoration of the Davidic kingdom. So the 12 tribes are being preserved today in the earth. And so James is writing to these, as a half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's writing to these racial Hebrew Jewish Israelite people that are composed of the 12 tribes. In the midst of those 12 tribes are unsaved men. In the midst of those 12 tribes are wealthy Jews that are not saved. And so this is a warning to them in James chapter 5. And this warning extends to all rich men in general, these cartel capitalists. And so it not only applies to the rich Jews of the day that James was writing to, of the 12 tribes, it applies to all the rich men today, whether they be Jew or Gentile. The principle is still the same. So, go to now, you rich men. Weep and howl. For your miseries that shall come upon you. Listen, rich men, cartel capitalists, Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and all you other cartel capitalists, Jeff Bezos, and all you other cartel capitalists, Klaus Schwab, and all you other cartel capitalists, you better start weeping and howling for your miseries that shall come upon you, because all you guys, if you don't believe the gospel, if you don't truly repent, God's commanded all men everywhere to repent, Acts chapter 17, and to believe this gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, how that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again. According to the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, Isaiah 53, etc. And upon believing the gospel, the Lord will forgive you all your sins. He'll wipe out your sin debt. And the only thing that can pay for sin is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great Redeemer. That's why he had to be born of a virgin. His blood was different. His blood didn't have a death sentence in it. His blood was eternal. And so, you rich men, you better weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you, just like the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. And when the rich man, in lifting up his eyes in torment, as soon as you die, rich men, you're going to be lifting up your eyes in torment in hell, in the earth somewhere, underneath the flat earth, because the earth is a plane, somewhere down maybe in the foundations. Who knows where Hades is, but it's down there. And you're going to be lifting up your eyes in agony, in a flame, and you're going to be remembering everything you ever did, and you're going to wonder, how can I get out of here? But there ain't no getting out. There's no getting out. That lying, thieving, wicked Roman Catholic institution having you light your candles for people in purgatory and we'll get them out in a certain amount of years. That's all to make money, Roman Catholics. You're suckers. You're suckers for the papacy and those thieves, those pirates that run that place called priests and cardinals and archbishops and bishops and the Pope. The Pope is the Alibaba of the 40 thieves. That Jesuit, Francis I, with that little benevolent little smile on his face, he's a raving, ravaging wolf. And you have to be named the Pope, claiming to be the vicar of Christ. Are you kidding me? The vicar of the Lord Jesus Christ, the substitute. By the way, one of my dear brethren got this old map of all the popes. It's a big tree of all these popes, and it comes to the top. And at the very top is an equilateral triangle. And inside the equilateral triangle is a very unable to be made out symbol of the Jesuit order, IHS. The Jesuits are at the top of the tree, and they're overseeing the popes that are in power, because the final pope of Rome, slain for the sword and rising from the dead, is going to be the Antichrist, the beast, the man of sin, the son of perdition, that exalts himself above all that's called God, so that he as God shall be worshipped as God in the temple of God in Jerusalem when it gets rebuilt here shortly, after this war in the Middle East that the Jesuits have caused, using their American empire, their 14th Holy Roman, 14th Amendment American empire, to wage this war for the benefit of the papacy, which includes the securing of the borders of their revived Latin kingdom of Jerusalem, ultimately the destruction of the mosque and the Temple Mount, which I would welcome, and then the rebuilding of the building of the third Hebrew temple. That's what all these rich men are working for. These high-level rich Freemasons. These high-level rich Knights of Columbus. These high-level and rich knights of the Constantinian order, these high-level rich knights of Malta, these high-level and rich knights of the order of St. Lazarus and St. Gregory and Rupert Murdoch and all those other sinners. Misery is coming for you guys. Misery. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Corrupted. Everything you ever trusted in, rich man, is corrupted. And of course, you stole the gold from we the people. You took it away from us by May 1st here in 1933 in America here. We got all turned in all the persons, the artificial person, the men clothed with an artificial person, they got to turn in their gold by May 1st to get fined $10,000 and go to jail for 10 years. Put fear and terror in everybody's heart to turn in their gold that the Constitution says there will nothing but gold and silver coin shall be used in tender and payment of debt. Can't have that. Of course, that was written by a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Calvinist named Roger Sherman. We can't have that in the Constitution now. Or we can't, at least we can't obey that. Oh, no. No. Why, these people might be able to save their wealth. They might be able to store their labor that they've expended for money so that they can use it when they get older. But oh, no, we can't have that. We have to have all these American people dependent on for every bite of food on us. So whatever they get from us, we can just regulate it and decide to who to starve to death or who to kill we want to kill. That's what these rich men have done. These rich men in secret societies working for the Jesuits who wrote all the high rites of Scottish Rite from the 4th degree to the 33rd. And even before that, they took over those 1st, 2nd, 3rd degree, the rite of Hiram Abiff, which is a rite of the coming pope to be slain with the three ruffians, to be brought back to life, to be born again in the lodge. It's all for the pope and the papacy and its antichrist coming out of unholy Mother Church. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust, it's actually, that word can be understood to be poison. Am I clarifying the King James? Of course I am. Then why did those great translators use rust? Because it was understood in the language of the common man with the same concept. Plus there was a flow and a rhythm about it. So, the rest of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Why is that? Because all this gold will be a witness against these rich men that they hoarded, that they stole from the people, from the common man, so they can't save their labor with money, with intrinsic value. And this will all be a testimony against these rich men where? It's going to be a testimony against these rich men at the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment. What's that? What's the Great White Throne Judgment? Well, it's where all you guys of the Great White Brotherhood are going. That's right. We read. Verse 11 of Revelation 20. And I saw a great white throne. Why is the throne white? Because there's no grace. There's no forgiveness here. There has to be absolute perfection and sinlessness as this pure white portrays, because it's the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the great white throne. How do we know that? All judgment's been given to the Son. The Father judgeth no man. And so therefore, in light of that, the book of John, we read the great white throne here can be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on it. And it says, He's God. I saw the dead and him that sat on it, from whose face are the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. God, God the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not seeing the Father. The unsaved will never see the Father. Only the elect in Christ will see the Father. Only the elect of the under the law, under the dispensation of law, will ultimately see the Father. But the unsaved that die in their sins will never see the Father. He'll never ever see them. They'll not see Him. They will only see the Son of God on the great white throne as He is personally giving them a judgment for everything they've ever done and everything they've ever said. Doesn't sound too good for you rich men, does it? When you killed off your competition, when John D. Rockefeller killed his competition in the oil industry, John D. Rockefeller modeled his Standard Oil Trust after the Jesuit order. And you can read it in a book called John D. Rockefeller and His Career, written in 1912. He modeled the whole thing after the Jesuit order, and he considered himself to be the Black Pope, the Jesuit General. Jesuit General Rockefeller. And yet, you're never going to hear that from the John Birch Society when they denounce Rockefeller. Oh no, because Gary Allen, in his book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy, why he exalts and has praise for the Jesuit General Pedro Arrupe, who was the Jesuit General years ago. Now, the conspiracy people, the John Birchers and all the others, they don't want you to know the Jesuit hand. They don't want you to see the Jesuit power in the midst of this international world conspiracy. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy factualist. Everybody that believes in coincidence is an idiot. They believe in coincidence. They are coincidence theorists. That's what they are. It's the same stupid coincidence with the origin of man. And we had a big bang, and all of a sudden, all these pieces gathered together, just like a typewriter would gather together as a bunch of pieces in a dryer, and you turn the dryer on, and all of a sudden, after an hour or two, all those metal pieces turn into a typewriter. Well, that's the same theory they teach our children in these pagan public schools, that there is no God, and we're all a result of a Big Bang theory and millions and billions and zillions of years, where when ultimately man comes about. That takes more faith to believe that than God created the heavens and the earth and created Adam and Eve on the sixth day. Now, all you rich men busy serving the Pope and the Jesuit order, because you're cowards and you worship money, sex, and power, trying to forget the fact that one day you will be judged, you will die, you're going to go into the center of the earth, you're going to go into hell, and you're going to suffer there for a while in pain, and it's not going to end until you get a glorified body at the second resurrection, and Jesus Christ resurrects you out of hell into his presence at the great white throne judgment, and there the books will be opened. Klaus Schwab, step forth. Open his books, Michael, or Gabriel, or whatever angel is going to be there. Open the books, and we shall judge. And Klaus, you're going to be there shriveling and shaking and all. Oh, too bad, Klaus, because all your works are going to be put before you. And then after everything is done, this is a recitation of your works. Take him away. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. And the angels will descend and grab you, Klaus, and take you over to Gehenna, the sea of fire that burneth forever and ever, that was created for the devil and his angels, and he's going to drop you in there. Ah! Ah! Yeah, that's right, and I'm going to rejoice about it. What a great day. And they can do that to all these murderers, secret society members, rich men, busy serving the papacy. I have a book here, America's Irish Rich. One of the main people in there is William F. Buckley. William F. Buckley was a Knight of Malta, a bonesman, skull and bonesman, involved in the Kennedy assassination cover-up. And guess what, William? William F. Buckley is in hell right now in agony. Ah! Just like that Knight of Malta in Washington, D.C., that big lawyer, Edward Bennett Williams. He's down there right now. Ah! Ah! It's like David Rockefeller, that knight, working for the Pope. Ah! That's right. All of a harmony of yelling and screaming and moaning and anguish for these wicked white men. I've always taught the most wicked men in the world are white. I told that to one of my black students a couple days ago, and he went, yeah, I said, the best men in the world are white, and the most evil are white. White supremacy for good, white supremacy for evil. Can't be denied, it's the truth. So that's where they're going. That's where you rich men are going. All you rich boys in the mafia, Carlos Escobar, where's he now? Ah! Ah! All the CIA boys involved in assassination, cover-up, murder, overthrowing governments for the Pope. Where are they now when they've died? Ah! Oh! That's right. That's where James Jesus Angleton is, that traitor to the CIA. He was the mole, looking for the mole. He knows that Cold War was a hoax. He knows airborne nuclear war was a hoax. He's a vicious, evil liar, and he's down there now suffering in anguish. Oh, James Jesus Angleton, bye-bye. I rejoice in the death of these men, because all they ever do is persecute us, steal from us, take our money, devalue our money, cause inflation through devalued currency, just like that Roman Catholic knight Joe Biden working for the Pope, printing all this money, lessening its value so we have to work harder to pay our bills. The wicked sinner, the day is going to be delightful when he dies and he descends into hell waiting for his judgment. One of his sons is already there. Bo, he's there in hell. Ah! That's where Donald Trump's going. That serial adulterer. That's where Jeffrey Epstein is right now, in hell. Ah! Ah! That's right, Jeffrey, you Jew. You Jew that hated your own history and ancestry. You Jew that hated the Abrahamic covenant. You Jew that hated God. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And it doesn't matter if you're a racial Jew of the Abrahamic covenant or not. You're going to get it. We all reap what we sow. And that's a little frightening. It's also encouraging to know that you do well, and if you do right things, the Lord will reward you for that. But you have to be saved to have an eternal reward. Because if you're not saved and you do good, the Bible says all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. All your good works is filthy rags. Rich men. Oh, John D. Rockefeller, we're going to give a dime to charity. Oh, we're going to be a philanthropist. And what a bunch of lies to covering up their sin. Just like the Freemasons when they have their little Shriner parade and they dress like they're gypsies, dress like they're genies with their little pointed little shoes. The wicked sinners having their monopoly in all the banks. And congratulations, you wicked sinners. You shut down my bank account for the sixth bank just recently. Good job, guys. Just keep blackballing me and watch and see what the Lord does for you. I just had a recent bank that I opened four accounts in with $20 a piece. Why, they didn't wait 3 days so they shut it down. It's been shut down because of fraud. And then they tried to steal $500 from me, putting a debit in it, and I didn't do anything like that. So I got to go back to the bank and say, what have you done here? The wicked sinners, they want to steal everything from you. They don't want you to have any kind of a life where you can do legitimate banking. They want to make everything difficult. And I'm thinking, well, you know what? That's what all these people are going to have in the 70th week of Daniel coming up. They can't buy or sell using their bank without the mark of the beast, the number of his name or his name on it, on their right hand or on their forehead. I get it. These rich men hate us. These cartel capitalists hate us. They regard us as nothing but a bunch of useless eaters. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ thinks of mankind? You read Proverbs chapter 8. His delight is with the sons of men. Proverbs chapter 8. The Lord loves mankind. You know why? Because man looks like God. Man is the only creation in the 6 days that looks like God because we're in his image, in his outward manifestation. That's right. And that's the reason why Satan hates man so bad, is because when he looks at man, he sees God. And I can't stand God. This is what's going on. So ye rich men, ye've heaped treasure together for the last days. The last days is the 70th week of Daniel. And you're heaping your treasure together for it. John Pierpont Morgan, the man who financed the building of the White Star Line and Titanic, was involved using the Jesuits there, the Jesuits using him, like Francis M. Brown and his uncle, who was a priest there in Ireland, to kill all those people on Titanic, just to kill certain targeted individuals, like Benjamin Guggenheim and a few others, namely Jews. Astor wasn't a Jew, but they wanted to kill him, because Astor and Guggenheim and Isidor Strauss of Macy's, they were against the Post-Federal Reserve Act, so we're going to get rid of them. They'll sink a whole ship just to kill one man. They'll down a whole aircraft like 007 he was in the John Birch Society. They'll kill him, then they'll down a whole aircraft just to get to him. They'll kill a whole a bunch of people on an aircraft just to get to Paul Wellstone when they killed that Democrat senator from, I think it was Minnesota or Michigan, Illinois, I think. I'm not sure. But they killed him and his family. They brought down that aircraft because he was against the Iraqi war. We'll kill him, even though he's a Democrat, too. He's going to do what we tell him to do. These powerful, rich men, particularly white, they've heaped their treasure together for the last days. And now we got a war going in Israel. Now we got a war going in Gaza. That's why Sharon gave Gaza to Israel back in 2005 in preparation for the war that would take place in the region, starting there and take place in the region to then destroy the Muslim mosque in Jerusalem for the rebuilding of the Third Hebrew Temple, for the building of it, I should say. I just saw recently on Military Times where you got B-1 bombers now bombing portions in Iraq and portions in Syria and haven't even declared war on them. What a sin and a crime. The Pope using their American 14th Amendment American Empire to be the war makers around the world to impose the Pope's will on nations and who's going to run them. And you white people here are going to continue to finance that and pay the income tax and have your sons join the military, huh? You enemy belligerents. That's right. They deem us to be enemy belligerents under Trading with the Enemy Act since March 9th, 1933. You rich men. They kept back our pay by. They kept back our pay. And it's not by fraud because fraud's not there in the underlying text. They just kept back our pay. But they got us to volunteer by signing a W-4 when they introduced that sin back in 1943 with this evil, wicked white man named Beardsley Rummel. Beardsley Rummel. His mother and father must have been drunk when they named him Beardsley. Beardsley. Beardsley Rummel came out with a W-4 so you all can volunteer to have a federal privilege to work. And you can just waive your fundamental inalienable right to work by signing that W-4 without a qualified signature. And now, ipso facto, you've got a federal privilege to work. And everything that you are making can be excise taxed because the income tax is an excise tax. And you can contribute to the building of the huge military empire of the 14th Amendment American Holy Roman American Empire with over 1,000 bases over the face of the Lord's flat earth in 120 countries. Congratulations. Just keep building and financing your own destruction, white people, because it's coming. And you better start doing something about it. It may be too late. Maybe you just need to find a safer place to live. I had a couple of student husband and wife students, and she called me a couple of days ago. She said, Eric, she said, we live in Florida. She said, do you recommend we move? I said, of course. Florida is only 12 feet above sea level. All they have to do is detonate one of their nukes underwater there off the coast of Florida and send a tidal wave 100 feet high, and your place is peanuts. Well, where do you think we ought to live, Eric? I said, you need to live north of Interstate 80, which runs east and west across the country. Get north of there into northern Pennsylvania, New York, and that area. I maintain that's going to be the safest place to live. And stay away from the coast because they're going to detonate weapons in the Atlantic Ocean and they're going to have 100 feet high waves coming here and that's where they're going to take out probably a portion of New Jersey and a portion of Philadelphia. They have all sorts of plans. You get the book Endgame by Vallee and the other general. They tell you they're going to have many nukes in 10 cities in this country. But we'll just keep watching the TV, or we'll keep playing hockey, oh goody, or we'll keep going to the strip club, okay, we'll watch our pornography, okay, we'll watch baseball, because that's all that matters is baseball and football and basketball. Just keep being entertained like children. Be the children that you are, incapable of real civilization and real citizenship where you know how to read and write. And have your own library and have books so you can be some sort of an instructed individual and not believe everything you read in the news and the TV because it's all lies for the most part anyway. All the rich men serving the Pope, the cartel capitalists who brought this about. So we read, you have lived in pleasure on the earth. That particular word, pleasure, has to do with sexual passion. You rich men have all the women you want, don't you? And these women, they get more and more desperate, particularly the white women. They'll do anything for some money. Because they have no principles. They do not believe thou shalt not commit adultery. They do not believe flee fornication. They do not believe in keeping personal purity. They don't believe that. And so they don't. And so the more a nation gets involved in sexual sin, the hotter it gets, so that it gets to a certain temperature where God must judge that country. And it seems to me, as bad as it is now, that we're pretty close to national judgment, which is always war or famine or disease, including a military dictator. War, famine, disease, and military dictator, the four descriptions of the horses that the Antichrist rides in Revelation 6. I had one Russian student of mine say to me, oh, these American women, he says, they're so easy. They're so easy. Easy to bed. Yeah. And when you have a nation that's made up of those kinds of women, and I'm talking primarily to white women, you can't have a country. It's not going to happen. The Lord's curse is upon them. You want to live like this? I'll do this to you. There's no way you can live in fornication, adultery, and whatever, and be and prosper. But for you rich men, you can do it all day long. Charlie Chaplin was a Hollywood actor. He was a rich man. He used to fornicate 5 times a day, from what I could read about him. All these dictators, all these military dictators, sexual perverts. Mao Zedong had an insatiable sexual desire, and he used to defile Chinese virgins every Thursday, according to his wife. And it goes on and on. Yeah, Beria in Russia. He would tour the streets finding good-looking women so he could rape them. Whenever you have military dictators, it's open season on your women. And that's because of the sin of the white men who would not put an end to the institution of political tyranny. Because we're afraid. We're afraid we're going to get hurt. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To do the right thing that might get you killed and to be in the presence with God would be an eternal reward at the judgment seat of Christ. Instead of just laying down and letting these sinners walk all over you, steal your wife and daughters, plunder your house, plunder your bank account, reduce you to slavery, and then ultimately kill you with their medical inquisition so they can prescribe some drugs for you. You have a diabetes, so we got a drug for you. It's a vicious circle, and it's only made possible by these rich men. Rich men like Anthony Fauci, the Italian-Roman Catholic, busy serving the Pope of Rome because he was educated by the Jesuits. That's right. And now he's an adjunct professor for the Jesuits at the Georgetown University. Good for Anthony, that little rat. He had his first rodeo when it came to AIDS, and now his second rodeo with this coronavirus. The coronavirus. So he could kill white Anglo-Saxon Protestant and Baptist people in North America. That's it. No matter how many blacks you got to kill, no matter how many Jews you got to kill, no matter how many Roman Catholics you got to kill, or Muslims or whatever, we're getting those white people because they're our greatest threat to us when they start reading the Bible and they own guns and they get it into their heads, they want to be free, we got to get rid of that stuff. Isn't that right, rich men? You rich cardinals of the papacy with your gold chains around your neck. You have lived in pleasure on the earth. That's right. So now you're going to have adrenochrome so you can drink. So you can drink the life's blood of a baby. You wicked, filthy, ungodly, perverted monsters. In my country, We kill you with the law. We will have you tried, find you guilty, publicly hang you, and bring the children and the wives to the hanging, because they all need to see what happens to these wicked sinners drinking adrenochrome, where they have to kill and traumatize some poor little baby or some little child. What a vicious, bloody, bully bunch of monsters do this to these children. I know what it's like to be afraid as a child. I know what that's like. It's terrifying. The Bible says, you've lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts. You have anything you want. Anything. The Bible says, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And when you take an uncircumcised, deceitful heart and you give that heart anything it wants, it becomes a monster. Worse and worse and worse. And when these kinds of monsters are governing you and telling you what to do and you're at their mercy, you got a problem. And it's all coming from these wealthy cartel capitalists, members of secret societies controlled by the Pope of Rome. They lived in pleasure. They got their pole dancers, they got their prostitutes, they got everything they want. Except what they don't want is they're going to get a little syphilis or something, a little gonorrhea, and then they can't urinate. It's like somebody put a cork in the tip of your penis, and so you can't urinate. That's what's coming for you, rich men, with your prostitutes. Remember Al Capone? He went to Alcatraz, and he just had one too many prostitutes, and he got syphilis of the brain. But you're never told about syphilis, are you? You never told about those spirochetes in you that start burrowing in you and ultimately driving you crazy. Oh, that's the price for fornication and adultery. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. You keep watching that porno, you're going to do that porno. And who put that porno on you? Who made it legal? The filthy Supreme Court on the Warren Court in the 1960s. Legalized pornography. And Earl Warren, what was he? A 33rd degree Scottish Rite Freemason, one of the white power structure men involved in destroying Western civilization. Earl Warren, what did he do? He was governor of California. What did he do? He was helping in the roundups of the Japanese Americans out of California, sending them to camps in the Midwest and stealing their farms. My mother remembered that. She told me all about it. She said the Japanese children would come to school there in Grant High School there near Sacramento, and they would bring the strawberries. And we would all have wonderful, delicious strawberries from those Japanese children and their parents that had their farms. Those parents were taken and put into detention camps by Earl Warren, aided and abetted by Franklin Dandable Roosevelt. That other brother Freemason. Freemason Roosevelt, Freemason Warren. Masonic Lodge, busy serving the Pope of Rome. Aided and abetted by Freemason J. Edgar Hoover. That 33rd degree Freemason. Are you getting sick of this story yet? Because it's only going to get worse unless we humble ourselves and pray and seek the Lord that he might deliver us and that we might amend our ways, as did the king of Nineveh when he clothed himself in sackcloth and repented and put sackcloth over his animals and called for the repentance of his people for their wickedness. It's not salvation. It's merely turning from wickedness that we might have a place to live on the Lord's flat earth. The Bible says, you have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. And that's right, the day of slaughter is coming. It's called the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes back here, it's going to be an absolute slaughter pen. Total slaughter. And we see this in the book of the Revelation when he comes back. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 17. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. This is the context that John Steinbeck wrote his book, The Grapes of Wrath, right out of Revelation 14. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into a great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horses' bridles to the space of 1,600 furlongs, which is approximately 185 miles. They're all coming into the valley of Jehoshaphat, according to the book of Joel, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be there on his white stallion, trotting the winepress alone as a sharp sword proceeds out of his mouth. And that's where all you rich men and all your sons, you rich men, after you die, that's where your sons are going to be. And he's going to trod them alive, and all the blood will come out of that winepress in the valley of Jehoshaphat and spread all throughout the length of Israel for 185 miles. Maybe a symbolic cleansing of the land, who knows? But it's going to really happen. That blood will be shed. It will be for 1,600 furlongs. And one of the reasons why is because you rich men made it happen with all your financing and building of the Pope's military-industrial complexes around the world working together. Working together. You think the Russian intelligence and the American intelligence are enemies? Huh? You think Snowden is really not working for the entire community? The Russian intelligence and the American intelligence work together. They work together during World War II and after World War II. I prove it all in my book, Vatican Assassins. They work together. That includes Chinese intelligence, too. So do you think maybe the Pope in control of the military government in Washington, especially the Pentagon, do you think maybe at the very top there, they're colluding with the Chinese in facilitating their invasion here in the West Coast and into the South? Think maybe? The Bible says, "You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." You know why? Because the rich man, the cartel capitalists, are too powerful for the average man to resist. And so they don't resist. And you couple the fact that these typical men are cowards, that they don't read the Bible, so they have no true faith, so they have no true desire to resist. They cannot resist. You cannot resist the devil if you're one of his children. If you're not saved in the body of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, who the devil can see inside you, by the way, if you're not truly saved, you have no power to resist Satan's demons as they possess men everywhere to do what he wants them to do. Ephesians chapter 2 says they're energized by the Spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. And these rich men are men, some of the sons of disobedience. Super rich men. These cartel capitalist rich men. So the Bible says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." The husbandman is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the vine dresser. He's the husbandman. He's tending the grape vineyard. And as he tends it, he saves certain of them. They're the precious fruit of the earth. They're the elect, ordained to salvation in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. That's why none of the elect can ever die. As soon as the elect are born, that angel is sent to minister them. According to Hebrews 1:14, they're ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto them who shall be heirs of salvation. They're not saved yet. So, this is the precious fruit of the earth. So as we preach the gospel, as we seek to live a holy life, we're doing it as unto the Lord, and he's doing it through us for the salvation of his elect. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they too may obtain salvation." What does he say in 2 Timothy 2:10? That's why we're here. It's not only given to us to believe, Philippians 1:29, but also to suffer for his sake. And as we're serving him, we suffer. Well, the Lord is coming. This is the second coming he's referring to, because he's writing to the Hebrew Jewish Israelites. He's writing to the 12 tribes in dispersion. The 12 tribes in dispersion, their hope generally is the second coming or the coming of Messiah to the earth. The hope of the church is the appearing. So as he's writing to Jews, a nation of Jews, talking about their blessed hope, their hatikvah, that's the coming of Jehovah to smash the enemies of Israel and to institute the Davidic kingdom. That was all common knowledge to the Jews years before as they read the law and the prophets. For the coming of the Lord is nigh. So we have to be patient. The Lord establish our hearts. And we're going to suffer while we serve him. And I'll tell you some other suffering too. I mean, I think I mentioned to you that the Jesuits, with their control of the banking system, have shut down the sixth bank that I've sought to do business with. We're going to close the bank account. Our security team feels there may be fraud in here, so they're not going to tell me anything. And the banks have also made it so that they can close your bank account whenever they want to, and they don't have to tell you anything. There can't be a reason for them to close the account. They can just conjure up something like fraud, and ipso facto, we're going to close the account, and all those poor slaves working in the bank think you're some kind of an individual because somebody up top wants your account closed. So, one of my goals, one of my things is to have a foreign bank so that we'll have a bank where my citizens, my private citizens, can do banking and not have that problem. I am going to contact my congressman about it and see what he has to say. But you got to resist evil. And I'm going to resist it. We have to resist. Because it's the rich man in control of the intelligence community and controlling the banking institution that does this to us. And the question is, you're going to put up with it? You're not going to resist these rich men? I know the Bible says, and they have not resisted him, but we're Americans. It's our history to resist tyranny with a Bible in one hand and a gun in the other, led by nationalistic leaders. That's why I advocate our county or our state declare its independence, not secede, and start all over again, and just get rid of all the Jesuit federal power out of here, shut down the Masonic lodges, close the Jesuit orders, novitiates, and all their other places, and let's have a nation where we have rugged individual manhood that's straight, that want to have wives and children, that build families and churches and communities as we once had. Because Washington, I should say District of Columbia, run by the Commander-in-Chief and the Pope, is destroying our communities because we're deemed as enemy belligerents living in occupied territories, so it's a constant war against us by the Pope through District of Columbia, through his Commander-in-Chief. And he's not supposed to do that, by the way, to us private citizens. We now have protection of the Hague Convention, Article 23H. Nonetheless, these rich men working for the Pope have done this to us. Now, there's two books you want to get. The first book is titled The Robber Barons by Matthew Josephson. It's a classic work on the rich families that were primarily Protestant in this country, that the Jesuits used to build their 14th Amendment Holy Roman American Empire. Those men, their names were Jay Cook, J.P. Morgan, John Pierpont Morgan, J.D. Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller, who was a Baptist, but a high-level Freemason, Andrew Carnegie, who was a Presbyterian, but a Mason, Jim Fisk, Commodore Vanderbilt, Jay Gould, Collis Huntington, Jim Hill, Edward Harriman, Henry Frick. There's a big there's a museum in New York City called the Frick Museum. You need to go there if you've never been to it. It's a very, very wonderful museum of art. Henry Frick, Leland Stanford, all these guys here. The super rich, the cartel capitalists, all secret society members used to build the Pope's Empire of America. Going to tie it together with the railroads using Vanderbilt. We're going to have a monopoly on oil production with Rockefeller. We're going to control the steel industry with J.P. Morgan. And there's bonesmen all throughout it. These are some of the powerful men that built this American Empire, the Holy Roman 14th American Empire. And meanwhile, in building the empire, we got to get rid of the Indian nations, right? You listen up, Indians. You're not Native Americans. You're Indians. What was his name? Russell Means of the Lakota Sioux said, "I am not a Native American. I am an American Indian of the tribe of the Sioux." So, you listen up, you American Indians. The ones who destroyed you were these cartel capitalist rich men in the 1800s that were building the empire for the Pope of Rome. Indians, the Pope hates your guts. He wants you killed out or bred out. Whatever he can do. Or make you weak by giving you money every month. You get money from the government, it makes you weak. So, what they did was they conducted their Indian Wars of the Great Plains for 25 years. Starting in 1865, ended in 1890, and they killed off or drove out of their lands the Indian nations. And you know who helped facilitate that? None other than Pierre de Schmitt, who was the Jesuit overseeing the first treaty with the American Indian nations called the Treaty of Fort Laramie in Oklahoma. And he was there with that Roman Catholic savage general, Philip Sheridan, negotiating with the Indian chiefs. And by 1871, the radical Red Republicans will make it so that they will not recognize the sovereignty of the Indian nations. They did that in 1871. That's what those white radical Red Republicans did. You Indians need to wake up and see who did it to you. And stop blaming Andrew Jackson. He was good to you. The one who caused you that march, that awful march with the Trail of Tears, was Martin Van Buren. It wasn't Andrew Jackson. And you had a phony baloney white man that helped negotiate the treaty there, because his name was Ross. He was half Indian, one quarter Indian, and he was not a real Indian. The other chiefs agreed to the treaty that removed the Sioux from the Cherokee from the northern and west portions of Georgia. Stop blaming Jackson. Start blaming the Pope. Start blaming the radical Red Republicans. Start blaming them. And realize the true Protestants and the Baptists who preached the Bible were the best friends you ever had. We led Geronimo to the Lord, chief of the Apache. He came to know the Lord. Why? Because of the preaching of the Bible. And the Jesuits hated that so much, they got his skull, and they put his skull in Yale there, at the Bones place, and that's where Geronimo's skull was for some time. I think it's still there. That shows you how much the Jesuits hate when an Indian gets saved. So they can't have that if they're going to build their empire from sea to shining sea. So they made the war on the Indian nations, and they hired these buffalo hunters, these buffalo killers, so to ride on the trains of Vanderbilt to pick off as many buffalo as they could, leave them rot out in the sun. I have seen pictures of a mountain, probably 25, 30 feet high, of buffalo skeleton bones with these white buffalo hunters leaning against it. What a disgrace. They did it to starve the Indians to death. It's like they're going to starve us to death, shutting down all these food productions and destroying these places where we have our food produced. They're going to do that to us now. But they did it to the Indian before. Yes, building an empire from sea to shining sea, written by a white lesbian. I will never sing America the Beautiful ever again. I'm not singing any lesbo song glorifying the 14th Amendment, Holy Roman 14th Amendment American Empire. It ain't happening. And we shouldn't do it. That's just like singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic. He's trampled out the vineyard where the red hole has destroyed. That's a song against the Protestant South, overseen by Jesuit coadjutors, inciting them to have a crusade in the South to kill the white people in the South, particularly the Protestants. All of this done to us by the rich men, the cartel capitalist rich men. The other book you want to get is called Real Lace, America's Irish Rich, by Stephen Birmingham. Real Lace, America's Irish Rich, by Stephen Birmingham. And you see all the wealthy Irish people in here that were brought over here by the Jesuits after they created the shortage of food in Ireland in 1848. when Queen Victoria, that witch, was busy selling off meats and vegetables out of Ireland of 8 freighters a day or so to foreign ports to starve the Irish, to drive them over here so the Catholics would be used to take over the major cities, which is exactly what happened. And in this book, you'll see certain names like MacDonald. That's the same MacDonald that is the owners of McDonnell Douglas Aircraft. William F. Buckley, whose father was very wealthy, involved in the theft of oil and other things out of Mexico. No wonder they call us the ugly American. The reason why they call us the gringo and the ugly American is because of these super rich white men, and these particularly the Irish Catholics. There'll be other names in here that you will recognize, like Dehaney and others. Another name that's very important is Thomas Fortune Ryan. Thomas Fortune Ryan was the kingpin on Wall Street, and the Jew Bernard Baruch worked for him. Bernard Baruch was his servant. He was the lieutenant of Thomas Fortune Ryan. While they're busy building the empire and preparing for World War I to destroy the Lutheran Second Reich, from 1914 to 1945, it's the end of Protestant Lutheran Prussia in 1946. That was one of the major reasons for the Second Crusade, the Second 30 Years' War, this huge crusade by the Pope using America and Russia to destroy the people of Germany as a national judgment for facilitating the roundups of the Jews in Germany and Europe. And so the curse of the Abrahamic Covenant came into play on the German people. Yeah. Brought about by the instigation of the rich men who financed the building of the Nazi war machine and then ultimately came over here like Hymar Schock. Hymar Horace Greeley Schock helped to build the Nazi war machine, and then he comes over here and he's excused from Nuremberg, doesn't even go to trial. I don't think he did. I think he came here. No, he was at Nuremberg. They excused him. They excused him also with Franz von Papen, who was the vice chancellor for Hitler. They got rid of him too because he was a Knight of Malta, and they're not going to prosecute their own. All of these rich men working for the Vatican with the blood of millions on their hands, and we'll have blood of millions of more in the not too distant future. They're already behind the whole mass murder of the quote-unquote COVID epidemic, which as you can see by certain teachers that it was bogus. What they really wanted you to do, they get the injection to kill you with the injection. It never ceases. They just continue every generation. And so it's time for preachers to stand up against these rich men working for the Pope and the secret societies, because they're out to destroy what's left of white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Western civilization. So in conclusion, time to repent, rich men. Time to believe the gospel, rich men. The Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, rich men. Super rich men, cartel capitalist rich men. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, super rich men, and lose your own soul in the lake of fire? That's what's coming for you. And as Christ said, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Repentance and faith are key to your eternal salvation. There is no faith without true repentance. There's no reason to have faith without true repentance. And there's no repentance that does not result in true faith, because you have a godly sorrow for our sins. Are you sorry, super rich men, for your sins? Are you sorry about it? Because you ought to be. Because you're going to give account of all of it to the great white throne judge himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you continue in your sin. In conclusion, today is the day of salvation. You don't know what tomorrow may hold. We beg you, be reconciled to God. It's time today. In conclusion, if you wish to support this ministry, send your gifts to, I can take Cash App. which is a dollar sign, then Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, P-H-E-L-P-S. Send us something to Cash App. I can take that. Or you can send something to PayPal. That's R like Robert, B like Boy, P like Paul, B like Boy, donate at Comcast.net. RBPB donate at Comcast.net. I can't Zelle anymore because I don't have any account to Zelle it to. The wicked rich white man closed down my accounts. But you know what? God's going to deal with him. So RBPB Church, RBPB donate at Comcast.net, or you can send it to Cash App. Or you can make a check. You can make a check out to Lovehm, L-O-W-V-E-H-M, and send it to P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. P.O. Box 326, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. So, appreciate your gifts. I need them, because I'm going to continue to preach like this until the Lord's finished with me. Need your prayers. Need your gifts. I thank you for all of it. And may the Lord bless you as you do his will today, as you serve him according to his word, the AV 1611 Reformation English Bible. Maranatha.